All right, this class is scriptural prayer. In this course, we are going to talk primarily about the 9 different types of prayer that we see modeled for us in the scriptures. That's going to be our emphasis. And that is also in the book that you're going to read for this course called The Art of Prayer. All right, so we're going to begin first just talking about prayer. And we see several different types of prayer in this outline. We see the prayer of faith, we'll cover that, a prayer of consecration, prayer of commitment, the prayer of worship, the prayer of agreement, prayer in the spirit. It's primarily praying in tongues, but is not only praying in tongues, united prayer, and the prayer of supplication, and intercessory prayer. Those are primarily the main prayers that we see modeled for us, and we're going to look at those and study those and use those as a springboard for praying. In this course, sometimes we're going to teach and sometimes we're going to pray. When I went to Bible school, we had courses on prayer, and then we also had something called prayer school, which was optional, and it was in the afternoon that we could go to if we wanted to, and it was more a little bit more of a prayer lab or hands-on, where we'd learn about prayer in the course, and then we would pray together as a group. We're going to start with this, though. The foundation for prayer is praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we hear of people praying to Mary and other saints, but that's not scripturally accurate. What's accurate is praying to God the Father in the name of Jesus. And we want to pray, number 2, based on the Word of God, because the Word of God shows us the will of God. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So what we see is basically that Jesus was called the Word. The Word reflects God's will. The Word is His will. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. We're going to start with our main text being Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." The Amplified says, "All manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer, every kind of prayer and entreaty, and every opportunity pray in the Spirit." Well, this is showing us that we're to be praying. We're to use all kinds of prayer. And that's first showing us that there are different types of prayer. Well, that's important to know. It's just like sports. If I say, "Come over, we're going to play tennis," and you bring your baseball bat, we're certainly not going to be in agreement. So prayer is like the word sports. It's a wide category that covers many different specific topics underneath it. So there are different ways of praying. There's prayer of thanksgiving. There's a prayer of worship. There's a prayer of faith. And so we went ahead and listed these. We see that there are different ways of praying, and we see that we are to pray at all times. This is something that God's been moving on me about. I pray a lot. I've always thought I prayed a lot. And this is what Derek said too. It's interesting what God's doing with Christians in this day. I've known Derek for years and years, and I've always known him as a man of prayer. But he said that God is calling him to pray more. So I'm having the same thing happen in my life. God's calling me to pray even more than I have been, and I've always thought that I already did pray a lot. And I'm seeing that with several other different Christians right now. It seems that God is just really calling the body of Christ to prayer. This is a time where the church needs prayer. The believers need prayer. And so it is good for us to be praying. And it says we're to be alert. We're to pray with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. How are we to pray for all the saints if we don't even know all the saints? And yet he's telling us to pray for all the saints. Well, one of the ways is by praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. There's a way where you can pray for people that you don't even know, and He can use you for that. You can pray in the Spirit and pray for something that's going on, even though you don't know what it is that is going on. And God can use you and have you pray something all the way through. So it is possible to pray for people that you don't even know. Sometimes I just will get a burden to pray, and I'll know that I'm supposed to be praying, and I may not even know what I'm praying for or who I'm praying for, and I just trust Him, and I follow, and I obey, and I carry it out. I pray it out. I don't just shrug it off. But yeah, there are other times where maybe I need direction in a specific area, and I like to pray in tongues because it quiets my mind, and then I know I get more in touch with my spirit. And so I use praying in tongues quite a bit for direction or things where I'm not sure what to do. And so I'll pray in the Spirit, and then I'll ask Him for interpretation. So I will be focused on a certain subject, and I'll be praying that direction, yes. But there are other times where I'm praying in tongues, and I have no idea what I'm praying about. And sometimes God will reveal it to you, and sometimes not. And it's just, it's an act of faith. It's an act of trusting Him. We know that praying in the Spirit builds us up on our most holy faith. It's a good thing to do. It doesn't give you more faith, but it strengthens the faith that you have. It's a means to stir yourself up, to encourage yourself in the Lord, to build you up. It's a way to get your spirit stronger than your flesh, to get you more in touch with spiritual things than things on this earth, more in touch with heavenly things. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, that's true, but that we can step into that in a greater measure when we're more sensitive to the spiritual things than the flesh. So sometimes I'll pray in the Spirit for a little while to get myself charged up into a place where I'm experiencing that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, where I'm praying from a place of being above instead of beneath. Do you understand what I mean by that spiritually? If you're down in the gutter, it's harder to pray. So sometimes you've got to get yourself to a place where you can pray yourself up out of that place, pray yourself out of the distractions and the busyness of work or the hassle of the days, and get yourself into a place where then you actually can pray more effectively. So I lean on it for that. And it's important for us to know that the most effective prayer is the prayer that the Holy Spirit inspires us to pray, which is needed at the moment. So it's not for us to get technical about types. It's not to get caught up in that of, well, gee, what should I pray? This is just to give us kind of a guideline, but this is not something that we're to be so sticky about that it becomes a hindrance instead of a blessing. This is to be a blessing and to help us that way. John Wesley said, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. Well, we're familiar with that. Why is that? I'm just going to touch on this briefly. God created Adam and Eve. He put them on the earth. He gave them dominion. Dominion. They were to rule and reign on this earth. They were to function as little g gods of this earth, as though they were lords of this earth. He allowed them to name the animals. Okay, they were to tend and keep the garden. But Adam committed high treason, sold out to the devil when he sinned. He gave up his right and gave up his dominion when he did that. It was as though he had turned it over to Satan. And God will not. God is just. God is fair. And He's not going to come in and override what was put into motion. So that means that we need prayer for God to be able to legally have access and have right to interact and intervene on the earth. Because that authority was given to man, and man gave up that dominion when he sinned. Now, Jesus, to a certain extent, publicly defeated the devil and came onto the earth to destroy the works of the devil. And that's why it's important for us to use the name of Jesus against the devil. Jesus Christ gives us the means to exercise authority over the devil because of what Jesus did. But that dominion still remains with the devil. This is why prayer becomes absolutely essential to the Christians. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls Satan the little g god of this world. Okay? Now I've gone over that before, so I'm not going to spend very much time there. But let's go ahead and look at John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." So we are to pray. This is our model for how we're to pray. It doesn't say pray to Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says to pray to God our Father and to do it in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one that gives us the privilege of being able to go into the throne room of God our Father and talk with him. So whatever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now we see also, since we're in John, we see in John chapter 15, verse 7, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So we see here again the importance of knowing the Word of God. Because when we know the Word of God, we know the will of God. When you abide in him, how do you abide in him? By being born again. So you all qualify, you're born again, you're already abiding in him, and his words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, because you will be praying in line with his will when you know his word. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2:15. So we are to study the word, to show ourselves approved unto God. And a reason to study the Word is so that the words of God are dwelling on the inside of us so that we can pray according to His will. He wants us, when we pray, to know what we're doing, to know what we're asking for. He wants us to know His will. We'll get into this later in a greater measure, but the only time we say, "If it be thy will," is when we are dedicating ourselves to the Lord for service. Otherwise, the word "if" should not really be in your prayer life. Because if you've got the word "if" in there, then you're not in faith, because you're not knowing what you're asking for. You're not certain. So if you're praying a prayer of faith, then you need to know what you're praying. You need to be certain what you're asking for. If you're not certain of what you're asking for, then you're not praying in faith. So we only see the word "if" used one time in one model of prayer in Scripture. And that was where Jesus was consecrating himself to the Father's service in going on the cross. Now, let's look at this verse, and I recommend that all of you learn this verse. Kind of like you learned, you know, "By his stripes you were healed." Okay, so learn this verse. You don't have to have it exact, but have a good working knowledge of it. It's 1 John 5:14 and 15, and it says this, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him." He hears us when we pray his will. His will is revealed in his word. And we have the petition, we have whatever we've asked for. So we know he hears us, we know his will is revealed in the word, and when we pray out his will, he hears us and we have what we ask for. It's basically meaning the request. We have the request that we've desired of him. So request might help you a little bit better there. So let me give you an example. We know that the scripture says it is his will that no man should perish. So God doesn't want anybody perishing, but he wants all to come to the knowledge of salvation. He wants all to be saved. We can have confidence when we pray for somebody's salvation that it is God's will for them to be saved. So we're going to take this, we're going to use this as an illustration and then an application, and then we're going to pray for people right at the end of this class. 1 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. For salvation, we've got this. "He shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household." That's Acts 11:14. I stood on that scripture, and there's one other one, for my family to be saved. The other one is Acts 16:31. It says, "And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household." When I got born again, I wasn't married yet, So I still claimed my household as being my parents and my brothers and my sisters. And I stood on those two scriptures that if God put me in that household, that whole household was going to be born again. And they now are. Every one of them are born again. And so these were the scriptures that I stood on. And I want to show you how to pray effectively for the lost. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4 says, 3 and 4, it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world," see, little g, we see it again, right? "The God of this world," well, we see it there, "has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." This is an effective way to pray. Devil, I command you to release, and then you speak your loved one's free name. Remove the blinder off their mind so they are free to say yes to Jesus. And so it's as easy as that. So what happens is anybody in their right mind would say yes to Jesus, because if they really knew hell and heaven, they'd want to go to heaven. So it means they're influenced. There's something that's blocking their ability to understand and receive, to even hear and to know. What we want to do there is remove that blinder, remove the veil, command the devil to release their free will. He's affected their free will so that they're blocked from seeing and knowing and understanding. So that's what we're going to do. So if your whole household is already born again, then you can just go a little stretch further to aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever, okay? So go out. So that's what we're going to do. Now, this isn't something that we hope for. This isn't something that we beg. This is something that we command. This is an authority issue, okay? You have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Anytime you tell the devil to do something, you are doing it because you've been made able to do it because of the name of Jesus. So it is in the name of Jesus that you do this, okay? So we're just now going to go ahead and use the rest of the couple minutes that we have left, and we're going to pray.